A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana. This is text number 21.
Pancha Shirshahi Naguptam Pratiharena Sarvataha Anveshamanam Rishabham Apraudham Kamarupinam.
Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. The woman was protected on all sides by a five-hooded snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. The vital force of a living entity includes the five kinds of air working within the body, which are known as prana, apana, vyana, samana, and udana. The vital force is compared to a serpent because a serpent can live by simply drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as the pratihara, or the bodyguard. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of the vital force. The woman who represents intelligence was searching after a husband. This indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. A beautiful woman is useless unless protected by the proper husband. Intelligence must always be very fresh. Therefore, the word apraudham, very young, is used here. Material enjoyment means utilizing the intelligence for the sake of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, and sparsha, or form, taste, smell, sound, and touch.
Hare Krishna, in this verse there is appearance of a woman. Here before, that Puranjana was searching for the city, searching for the place for his enjoyment. He was looking around, and then he finally found the southern side of Himalayas, proper place, and now he is observing what's happening. What is this place? And he sees towers, he sees channels, he sees everything is very beautiful, prepared for sense enjoyment. And then he sees the woman approaching him, and she was very beautiful and protected by the five-hooded snake. She appeared as very anxious to find a suitable husband. Of course, later on, they became husband and wife, and they enjoyed. This story is the example of analogy in Srimad Bhagavatam, because the primary meaning of this story is not directly, literally. If you look at the whole story literally, sometimes may not make much sense. You know, why would a woman come with a five-hooded snake? You know, kind of strange, right? Just to say an example. However, there's much to learn from this story. Initially, the story was told to... the story was told to King Barhi, Prachina Barhi Shad, or Barhi Shad, same person, three names. And Narada Muni is narrating this story to teach him a lesson, to teach him that a material life is not satisfying the soul, but the spiritual life, the bhakti, not even liberation, but bhakti, devotion to Krishna. That is the conclusion of this story, why this story is told, because this story narrates many, gives many details about
the life of Puranjana, how he enjoyed and how he was performing different activities, had many children, and eventually he had to die. And this is the life of materialist. And King Barhi could see himself in this position because he was doing great jagyas for his sense, for sense enjoyment of himself and others. But Narada Muni said, with this story, this is not correct. That's not how you live a life of a human being. Although you're following Vedic rituals, principles, that's not the highest principle you can follow. Puranjana can be seen as soul. Like we said, he was looking around for the proper place. The soul is born in a body, and now he's like in a process of getting a body, right? A city with the gates. And now the intelligence is coming. Here, beautiful young woman, she represents intelligence. And intelligence was looking for the vital force. That's that the vital force is consciousness. It's coming from the soul. And if we see Puranjana as the soul, he's the giver of vital force to the intelligence. And then the life airs. And then the whole city, the whole thing can work. And the whole process, like Puranjana's story, how it develops, how he's engaged, we can see that how conditioned, living entity, is engaged in sense enjoyment, how a living entity, how the soul is entrapped. The soul is limited by the body. That's one of the points of our basic philosophy, right? That we are conditioned in this material world. We are not this body of different elements which are not compatible to the soul. The soul is compatible with spiritual world. And the goal is to go back home, back to spiritual world. Material world is not our home. Puranjana, as the soul, he was not at home. He was in material world, entangled, bound, limited. There are five life airs in the body: apana, prana. Prana goes upright. Apana goes down. Vyana does something else. Samana and udana. These are five life airs. And the yogis are quite concerned about controlling those five life airs. They sit in secluded place, do asanas, mudras, whatever, breathing exercises, to the point that they attain the equilibrium of all the life airs. This means that they controlled all the senses. They control their existence completely. And at that time, their mind is peaceful and they can focus on the absolute form of the Lord, of the form of the Lord. That reminds me on some comment of Srila Prabhupada from the, I think it's 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes the yoga system, and there is talk about the equilibrium of the life airs and the description of the yogi, how, you know, some terms are there, you know, how this is named, this process, this particular stage of taking the life airs into equilibrium, and then when they are, they reach equilibrium, a special term, and then when they go above, I mean, they are sometimes balanced, then, you know, how's that called, you know, And at the end of the purport, as the conclusion of the whole point, Prabhupada mentions that by prasad, by taking Bhagavad prasad, we can attain that goal. We can put our life affairs in equilibrium. So then we can peacefully engage in devotional service, focus our mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In this context here, these are five life affairs, five snakes. They're carrying the life force, the vital force, because without the vital force, nothing can exist. So basically, the life force is carried by the life airs around the whole body. That's why body can function. If there would be no life force and no air to carry it, there would be no functioning of the body. Can someone please give me a watch, because I don't want to always turn around when I want to see, you know, what's the time. Thank you. There's another principle here in the Prabhupada's comment when he says that the woman is without a husband is useless, right? The principle here is that the everyone is dependent. Everyone's happiness is depending on someone else or something else, and that is the example for that. Like a woman is depending, a woman's happiness depends on the husband, and the devotee's happiness depends on someone else's, another devotee, someone else, some other devotee's happiness and Krishna's happiness. The nature of the living entity is always that we are dependent on particular some energy, whether spiritual or material, and within that then we look the sources of our happiness. Because we are always there must be. Perhaps we can look at the senses. They always need the objects of the senses to have the sensation, and then some type of happiness is experienced. So the happiness of a person is always depends on some other energy, some other form. And in spiritual world, the happiness depends on Krishna, devotees. Like we are conditioned in material world, we are liberated in spiritual world, but still in spiritual world, we are covered under the influence of yoga maya. Again, we are dependent. Of course, we may use this independence. Again, we have independence to choose whether up or down. And if we decide to go to be in spiritual world, this means that our intelligence will consider making arrangements for the engagements of the senses. To have as much enjoyment as possible, like to engage the form, taste, smell, sound, and touch for our own selfish purpose, for the satisfaction of the body. Materialists, they doesn't think of anything else than that, how to gain as much sense enjoyment as possible, how to utilize the sense object, how to accumulate as much as possible, so then I will be pleased. You know, my senses, my body, my senses will be satisfied. The example is Puranjana again, because we were just talking about, you know, about his about this narration. Puranjana, he engaged for sense enjoyment. He was so much engaged in sex life with his wife that he forgot about the time. And then when the city was attacked, this means that the old age has come and death was approaching. He was like, oh my God, what's happening? And then he was fighting against that. But still he wanted to have sense enjoyment. Very eager to have as much as possible sense enjoyment. But that is changing. Sometimes we have more facility for sense enjoyment, sometimes we have less. As our quota is there, you know, devotees, Puranjana, with someone who have to tell Puranjana, look, you have a quota, calm down, you know. don't try to exploit too much. Rather, think of Krishna and, you know, Ishava Sedam Sarvam. You rather think of Krishna and understand that everything belongs to Krishna. And you're given this as a gift, should utilize it for Krishna's service. You know, this is you're not given this facility, you're given the responsibility for it. You know, responsibility is yours. You have to utilize it for Krishna, not just for sense enjoyment. Yeah. Perhaps his heart would change, I don't know. You can just imagine what would happen. And all the wealth, the servants, the five-hooded snake who carries, you know, like life here is intelligent. His wife would make garlands for the deity and all that. And the place would become Vaikuntha because it would be engaged in Krishna's service. And that is intelligence of a devotee. Devotee focuses his intelligence, or her intelligence, I mean, I say he's like general, on Krishna, that is, and makes senses exposed to Krishna consciousness. Worshipping the deity is utilizing. What is that verse? Atashu Krishna Namadi. If you utilize the tongue and the other parts of the body in service of Krishna, then they become purified. You become purified. This is actually spiritual metaphysics. There is a question in Bhagavatam on some point. You know, how does this work? Narrations of Krishna, they are transcendental, right? But how is this? They are carried by the material sound. The sound is material element. And then the ear is again material. You know? So how is this? You know? Is this possible? And of course, that's a rhetorical question. That's how the things work. We engage our senses, and we engage our tongue in chanting the holy names, narrating the stories of the Lord, I mean, Krishna conscious topics, which are in line with the previous acharyas. We engage our body in the deity worship. That's like we practically use all the senses practically. In the morning when we are on Mangala Arati, we use all the senses by accepting prasad or by being active in Krishna's service. We smell perfume offered to Krishna. That's engagement of the nose. And then we hear holy names. Glorification of the Lord, nice songs, very deep. And then we look at the deities, we use our eyes, and we use our hands by playing karatas or dancing. And the intelligence means, devotee's intelligence would try to figure out as many as possible options to engage such service. the materialistic intelligence would engage in enjoying, using these sense objects for one's self interest, self enjoyment. But those same objects, basically, they could be used in Krishna's service, and they bring us to Krishna. So Prabhupada, in one point I was reading, he says that Puranjana's story is related to Krishna because everything in Bhagavatam is related to Krishna and teaches us whether what is Krishna, how things are in relationship to him. What kind of material Krishna is, and material energy, how this is connected, and what is the soul's position, whether condition, whether the beginning stage of devotional service, motivated or pure. That's what's discussed in Bhagavatam. And then how to attain the goal, Krishna Prem. What is the process? What processes devotees used to attain the goal? And then also about the goal. It's 10th canto is speaking about what is the goal of our line, which place, which mellow devotional service devotees in our line accept as the highest. So also this story is connected. Sometimes the Shastras give negative examples to prove what is correct, to show what is correct. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, there's many points about what the soul is not. The soul cannot be destroyed, cannot be washed away by water, cannot be destructed, is eternal. I mean, is eternal is not fitting the same category, but you know, is not temporary, we could say. With this, we define that the soul is eternal, and that it is different than any element within the material world. And with Puranjana's story, we see the negative example how we should not do. And the positive is naturally. If you look in the context of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that the positive is devotional service to the Lord and engaging the intelligence to plan, to figure out how to attain Krishna, to get to know Krishna. Krishna is a noble object. It's not, I don't know which example I should give. It's not a new car or whatever. That's not the proper object of knowledge. But the object of knowledge is Krishna. And in Bhagavatam is always the object of knowledge, Krishna. So, okay, thanks. Any questions, comments? Paper airplanes. Yeah. Five-footed snake is five life airs. Yeah. They're carrying the force of life throughout the body. Yeah, that's why Puranjana can be embodied. You know, Puranjana, if you look at him as the soul, he is giving the life force to the whole city through the life force. And the intelligence depends on him. That's the woman mentioned in this verse.
Okay, thank you very much. Bhagavatam ki.